We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
The Volume.
All right, welcome to Hoops Tonight here at The Volume. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope all of you guys are having a great week so far. We are live on AMP. So if you're watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast feed, don't forget that AMP is the very first place that you guys can get these shows. Also, coverage of the Eastern Conference Finals here at Hoops Tonight is brought to you by Chase Freedom Unlimited. How do you cash back? Well, the unbroken, never-before-happened comeback from 3-0 series that we were all kind of expecting to a certain extent tonight did not come to fruition as the Miami Heat punk the Boston Celtics on their home floor to advance to the NBA Finals. Got a bunch of stuff I want to dive into. I want to dive into the confidence dynamic that I think led to Miami's big night tonight, which I think is super interesting and is informative as we look forward into future seasons. I want to talk about the job that Eric Spoelstra did to throw Boston off schematically. I want to look a little bit forward to the finals. We're not going to do too deep of a dive because I will be doing a full finals preview tomorrow morning. And then at the end, we're going to talk a little bit about the Boston Celtics and what went wrong for them. And if you're a Celtics fan, I have a much less gloom and doom type of approach to this situation. I actually am pretty optimistic about their future. So we'll talk a little bit about them as well. You guys know the drill. Before we get started, subscribe to The Volume's YouTube channel so you don't miss any more of our videos. Follow me on Twitter at @_JasonLT so you guys don't miss any show announcements. And last but not least, for whatever reason, you guys miss one of these videos and you can't get back over to YouTube to finish, don't forget you can find them wherever you get your podcasts under Hoops Tonight. So, confidence in big games. You know, there's almost like a we got nothing to lose type of dynamic taking place in the previous three games, right? Like all of the damage, so to speak, to the reputations of the players involved, to the reputation of the coach involved, and all of the negative Celtics sentiment was already there after game three when you go down 3-0, right? So it's like, you know, Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, like, don't let us win one. Okay, you got one. Okay, then you won a home game. And then even then in game six, it's still kind of a nothing to lose type of situation. The spread is closer, right? Like, I think at the tip off, Boston was only like a 2.5 point favorite or a 3 point favorite. You end up barely winning that game. But in game seven, suddenly that dynamic shifts. Suddenly you are the favorite. You're a 8 point favorite. After game five, Miami was still favored to win the series at that point. It's a totally different dynamic going into this game seven. And you guys all probably noticed, and there's going to be a lot of focus on the ankle injury for Jason Tatum. And I don't want to underplay it because it certainly had an impact on what happened to Boston tonight. But I think that even if Jason Tatum had not sprained his ankle, a relatively similar outcome would have taken place. Because regardless of what was going on with Jason Tatum, from the opening tip of this game, you could see a giant gap in how comfortable Miami felt under the weight of the moment compared to the way that Boston felt. And I think that that trickles down the roster. When Jimmy is playing as confidently as he was, even after a couple of bad games, he was carrying himself so confidently that everyone else on the roster seemed to feel that way. Kyle Lowry rising confidently into jump shots. You know, Caleb Martin rising confidently into jump shots. There are, you know, even like difficult shots, like rescue possessions. There was a wild play at the beginning of the second half, I think, where Max Strus on the left wing just takes and makes a smothered three, like 27 feet from the basket. But when he's rising into that shot, he's rising into it like, hey, we got nothing to lose, man. Like they felt comfortable and confident in that setting. And I think it's informative from the standpoint of youth in basketball teams. And we're going to talk a lot about Boston and how we look forward. And there's going to be a ton of conversation surrounding the Celtics in the coming days. And like, should we blow it up? And should Jaylen Brown get shipped off? And should we do this? And should we do that? And to me, it's like maybe the star that's in his 30s that is the fully formed version of himself that has discovered how to impact winning on both ends of the floor over the course of a decade is just better at this kind of thing than the other two stars who are, a 24-year-old and a 26-year-old who have been in a lot of big games but have glaring weaknesses. Like, Jaylen Brown, for as good as he is, I think a lot of people talk about him like he can't dribble at all whatsoever. I think that's overstated a little bit. He just really struggles with protecting the basketball. And then as he lost his confidence, he started to mess up even basic dribble moves. Like, he fumbled away just a basic crossover dribble in the fourth quarter of that game. But, you know, he just really struggles to protect the basketball. And that puts you in an issue against a team like Miami that is extremely good at forcing turnovers. And I thought that was one of the many really smart game plan approaches from Eric Spoelstra in this series was Jimmy Butler is your best defender. You could put him on Jason Tatum. You could put him on Jaylen Brown. He put him on Jaylen Brown with the sole purpose of shattering his confidence. And Jimmy Butler was consistently attacking the basketball. Every single time Jaylen Brown tried to put the ball on the floor to go around him, Jimmy swiping at it from behind and knocking it away. And maybe Jimmy could do a better job on Jason Tatum, but he's able to completely and utterly shatter the confidence and ego of Jaylen Brown and turn him into a shell of himself, which was kind of a better use of resources than just making things tougher on Jason Tatum, who's going to have a lot of success regardless, right? But that goes all the way down the roster. Caleb Martin was unbelievable throughout this entire series. You see the difference between Eric Spoelstra and identifying where Caleb Martin has success and kind of plugging him into those situations and giving him a defensive assignment that he can handle, right? Spent a lot of time in this series on Jason Tatum, kind of pressuring the basketball and getting up underneath him. On offense, everything's on the move. A lot of closeout attacking situations, a lot of stuff off of dribble handoffs, a lot of stuff in transition where his athleticism can come to the surface. And he was operating comfortably throughout, and he played up to the absolute peak of his ability while Jaylen Brown played to the absolute basement of his ability. That's the advantage of coaching and game plan and experience in a series. You know, there's going to be a version of Jaylen Brown when he's Jimmy Butler's age where he's the guy that's super comfortable in every big game and has polished up all of his significant weaknesses and understands exactly how to attack in these types of settings. There are going to be young guys who win in the NBA. Giannis won a championship at, 26 years old, right? And, like, we saw Steph and LeBron do it at 27 years old. But there's just not a lot of examples of dudes that just thrive in huge basketball environments at 24 years old. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, I want to wait to talk about how Jason Tatum can get better in these particular settings later on. But as we talk about Miami, I do think that that's something to pay attention to here. Experience won this series. Jimmy Butler and him being the fully formed version of himself who knew how to consistently get to places where he felt comfortable, and Eric Spoelstra being in so many of these situations over the years that he knew all the right buttons to push, that was what ended up swinging this series. And like I said, with all the talk about Boston's talent, and you guys know I'm the biggest proponent of Boston's talent. I think they've had the most talented roster in the league over the last 2 years. But as we said during that Golden State Warriors series, that's only one part of what makes a great basketball team. What makes a great basketball team is so many things that go beyond talent. And Boston leaves a lot to be desired in those areas. So as we're looking forward and projecting in the future, as we're talking about teams, I think experience, going with the guys that are closer to the absolute fully formed version of themselves, those are safer bets in these environments. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Jimmy was the best player in the Eastern Conference this year, because he's just the fully formed version of himself. And he ran into a Giannis that has not figured out yet how to consistently score over the top of defenses. He ran into a Julius Randle that completely crumbled under that circumstance. Jalen Brunson availed himself valiantly, I want to say. And in that Boston series, you know, Jason Tatum never really grabbed controls of the offense to the ability that you would hope a player of his caliber can do. And Jaylen Brown was a complete shell of himself. And so it's informative looking forward. I wanted to shout out Eric Spoelstra, because obviously with all of these series, as I've been talking about them, I keep saying at the beginning, like, I have too much respect for Eric Spoelstra to not think that Miami has a chance to win these series. And I did think that two particular things. We talked about it earlier, but putting Jimmy Butler on Jaylen Brown and just utterly demolishing his confidence in all of their man-to-man situations, I think that played a big role. And then also the zone defense. And the zone defense didn't just give issues to Jaylen Brown, but it disrupted the entire team, the entire Boston Celtics team. You know, I talked about this a lot, but Boston, to me, has a lot of guys that can shoot, but they don't have any real knockdown shooters. They don't have a guy that's like, oh my God, you cannot leave this dude open type of shooter. And the reason why that's important is, like, all of those guys that are basically league average to slightly above average shooters, all of those guys, they're going to succumb more to that team-wide rhythm type of stuff, right? When the entire team feels like they can't make a three, kind of like what we saw, especially in that first half, you're going to see those types of shooters kind of fall into that mess. Whereas, like, truly elite shooters, when they're missing, they know the makes are coming. And they know that they're going to keep confidently shooting because they know their results are eventually going to come. And what was great about what Spoelstra was doing with that zone is it was really limiting Boston's ability to get dribble penetration. And so they were taking a lot of early clock contested threes, or like just swinging the ball around the perimeter and taking a late clock three, or turning it over as Miami Heat players are in the passing lanes. And they're never going to break through when they're not getting higher quality shots, because those are not elite shooters. And so they need to get really good catch and shoot looks to bust out of their slump. And so I thought that was really smart. And Spoelstra's 2-3 zone is very different than a lot of the zones you see around the league. It's very aggressive on the front, so the guards on the front part of the zone are picking up almost out at half court. The wings are coming out of the corners and trapping in a lot of cases and helping on ball screens and stuff. And Bam is super active. And Boston just never did a good enough job of getting the ball into the teeth of the zone, getting the ball to the high post where they could have a player there that can make reads. Part of that is they just didn't have a player that felt really comfortable operating down there. And then they never felt confident enough in their three-point shooting and got in enough of a role there to make that work. And it's a lesson for Boston in general, too. If you're going to be a super high-volume three-point shooting team, you better have some real makers on the team, like can't leave them open type of guys. If you're a team that has a bunch of average to slightly above average shooters, you need to be a team that only takes threes when they're, you know, wide open drive and kick type of threes, or wide open threes in pick and roll situations where the guy dies on the screen, right? So definitely thought Eric Spoelstra pressed all the right buttons over the course of this series. I said at the beginning that their best chance to win was Eric Spoelstra coaching or using a schematic approach that would force Boston into their ugliest offensive tendencies for longer stretches than usual. That was their best chance. And hell, you just got a four-quarter masterpiece of ball pressure, zone defense, forcing turnovers, making Boston feel uncomfortable, and just crumbling their confidence to the point where one of the league's best offenses looked completely inept against a team in Miami that was not an elite defensive team for the most part this season. So credit to Eric Spoelstra.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this.
Bundled savings variant are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider's look at the NBA and the culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoops takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design icon West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of the two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Visit leesa.com/hoops to learn more. That's leesa.com/HOOPS. Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie doesn't just get your home projects done, Angie gets them done well. With 20 plus years of experience combined with new tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. With over 220,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to get the job done well. The pros in the network are locally based, and they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area who have actually used their services. Y'all know what it's like to own a home. You walk around, like I walk into the kitchen the other day and my refrigerator is just making this horrible grinding noise. Or on Saturday, we were having a pool party. I had to use a couple outlets that I hadn't used in a while, and I found three or four outlets around the house that just didn't work. And that's super annoying. But the best part about Angie is it's a great tool to help you find the best available deal to get that work done and to get it done right. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service project from start to finish. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Looking forward to the finals. And again, like I'm a big believer in just being 100% authentic on this show. I hate that Boston Celtics team. I talked to you guys a lot about that in game six. They're arrogant. They play a brand of basketball that I don't particularly like. There's a lot of reasons why I don't like that team. In a vacuum, I would have been rooting for Miami. But I was rooting for Boston to win this series strictly because I do not think Miami is capable of beating Denver. Now, Miami fans, you should be thrilled about that because I picked against them in all three series and they still won. So for you guys, if the reverse jinx is real, then you're going to be in good shape. But Denver is different than the other teams that they faced in that Eastern Conference. They present all of the same physical advantages that Boston presented in terms of interior size and perimeter size, but they do not have the weaknesses that Boston has. This is a much better offensive team that consistently gets quality shots rather than going through extended stretches of not doing so. This is a team that does not rely strictly on dribble penetration or just knocking down a bunch of catch-and-shoot threes. No, this is a team that has a behemoth of an offensive engine in Nikola Jokic that will consistently generate high-quality paint looks that are not, you know, driving right at a rim protector, but are rather little pop shots and floaters in the lane that Jokic makes at 70%. Jamal Murray has the ability to operate out of the mid-range at a much higher level than any of the players on that Boston Celtics roster. This is a team that is going to generate wide open catch and shoot threes as a part of their offense rather than Boston dribbling the ball up the floor and just jacking up a stupid ass shot. Like, this team is much more talented than anybody they faced in the Eastern Conference without any of the potential things that Spoelstra and Jimmy can psychologically or schematically disrupt. Denver's a minus 360 favorite to win the series. They're an 8.5-point favorite to win game one. I haven't done my series preview yet, but I think I'm going to pick Denver in five, for whatever that's worth, since I've been wrong in every single Miami series. But I was definitely rooting for Boston, even though I hate those guys, simply because of the fact that they would have presented a more, you know, like a talent dynamic with Denver that would have made it a more interesting series. This Denver team is really, really good. I don't think people even realize how big they are with Nikola Jokic on the front line, but with Aaron Gordon being one of the bigger, stronger, most athletic wings in the league, and Michael Porter Jr., even with the injury history that he has, he's just tall and he has long arms, and he's done a really good job in this playoff run of helping the Nuggets in contested rebound situations and help defense with his length. He did a really nice job chasing over the top and applying back pressure on the Laker guards and getting blocked shots and things like that. They're huge on the front line. And then KCP is one of the best role player two guards in the league. And Jamal Murray has been playing at a bona fide superstar level for this entire postseason run. So, like, this is an entirely different challenge. And again, for you Heat fans, like, I really like this Miami Heat team. I kind of like my core basketball personality is drawn to them and roots for them. But I'm worried that this NBA Finals series could get really ugly, because this is just a whole other level than what Miami has dealt with in the Eastern Conference. We're going to do a deep dive into the NBA Finals as a preview tomorrow. So keep an eye on the feeds. It should be up around noon Pacific Standard Time. So keep an eye on the feeds. Boston. So there were two things, in my opinion, that completely undid them in this series. First of all, the defensive end. And we talked a lot about this over the course of this series, because they did have some flashes of really high-level defense in game 4, 5, and 6. But, you know, the biggest fundamental difference between this Celtics team and last year's Celtics team is last year's Celtics team, I left every game thinking, oh my gosh, that's one of the best defensive teams I've ever seen. I literally said on my show last year, that I think is the best defense in modern NBA history, especially in the half court. It was their transition defense that did them in last year. This year, they went from being a truly elite, generationally great defense to a pretty good defense. And when their offense is susceptible to the stretches of dysfunction that they are susceptible to, they don't have the margin for error to be a pretty good defensive team. They needed to be a great defensive team. Like, Caleb Martin, as great as he was in this series, like, I'm watching that second half and I'm like, okay, he just pump faked at Grant Williams and Grant Williams left his feet, and so he just sidestepped into a wide open three. Okay, he's dribbling along the baseline. Tatum's got him. Okay, Tatum calls for a switch. Marcus Smart is standing up out of a defensive stance and just lets Caleb Martin walk into a, you know, pull up 10 footer on the baseline right at the third quarter buzzer. That's wide open look for an in rhythm shooter. Okay, now we're in the fourth quarter. Here's a transition possession. Caleb Martin's dribbling. He has the ball in his hands. He's got the ball in his hands on the right wing. No Celtic is guarding him. And he just walks into a wide open three at the top of the key. Like, there's a reality to the fact that Miami shot really well and they got some timely contributions from players that aren't the same type of blue chip prospects that Boston has. But guess what? You also allowed them to get comfortable with a defensive identity that you had all season long, which was a clear level below what you were last year. And it's the latest example of listen to what the regular season teaches us as it pertains to the trends over the course of the regular season. Obviously, the regular season has a lot of fool's gold in it, but what I always say is watch defensive ratings. Why do we watch defensive ratings? We watch defensive ratings because they are the best indicator of the night-in, night-out commitment to the defensive end of the floor. Like I said, it's not a big shock that the Lakers, as good as they were defensively after the deadline, that they were also good defensively during the playoff run. It's not a big shock that Boston, even though they were still one of the top 10 defenses in the league, I think they finished, what, fourth or fifth or something like that, I can't remember exactly, but they were still top 10 defense, but if you look at the defensive rating, it was 8 points worse than it was last year. So is that not a significant indicator of the fact that they aren't as dialed in defensively as they were the previous year? So guess what? When the chips were down in a big game seven, they were sloppy on their switches. They were sloppy in transition defense. They were sloppy locating shooters. Even in game six, when things were falling apart, they were sloppy handling those ghost screens with Duncan Robinson and Jimmy Butler. They were losing shooters all over the floor just in basic swing pass situations because guys aren't paying attention. They were not the same defensive team. And that's why they weren't able to get to the same level as an NBA Finals team that was two wins away from the title as they did last year. Secondly, the lack of a spammable action. So I talked about this a lot over the course of this series because it was a part of how Boston got back into the series was Jason Tatum started to have some success with cleared side ISOs and attacking a little bit more from the mid-range. But even then, it wasn't to the extent that it needs to be. What does Jimmy Butler do at this phase of his career in his early 30s? I think he's actually in his mid-30s now. But, you know, what does Jimmy Butler do? He's attacking with a live dribble until he gets the switch that he wants, and then Miami sends all their dudes over to the other end of the floor, and he just works out of a live dribble ISO on the cleared right side of the floor. That's what they do. And Miami, in a big situation, will just spam that action. They'll just run it every time down the floor. And they know that they're going to get a pretty high-quality shot in every single one of those situations, or at least a shot that Jimmy Butler's capable of making, right? With Boston, you know, you'd have a 3-4 possession sequence like they did in that first half in Game 6 where Tatum's working, but then they get into the fourth quarter and then they just cease to do that. For whatever reason, you know, Jason Tatum doesn't feel comfortable doing the same thing over and over and over again from a specific spot on the floor. And, you know, as we look forward with Boston, there's going to be a lot of talk about, oh, we need to get them a better guard. It's like, well, you got Malcolm Brogdon last year, and yeah, obviously he got hurt in this series, but it didn't seem to solve that specific problem with their execution. You know, Derek White's another good guard. I mean, you don't have the resources to get a superstar point guard, right? So, like, at a certain point, the ceiling of the Celtics is directly tied to Jason Tatum's development. You know, at this point, he's 100% a live dribble guy. He's a live dribble, above the break, pick and roll, ISO, try to create a pull-up jump shot or get all the way to the rim for a layup. That's all he can do. And he's capable of going down to the post and making some plays there, but he needs to get to the point where he can, like, comfortably sit down on the left block against a smaller defender and go 7-8 possessions in a row, just either draw on that second defender to get the defense into rotation or getting closer to the rim for a higher quality shot. That's the next step for him. Offensive versatility. He's turned himself into a very efficient offensive engine from the standpoint of spamming that high pick and roll stuff, but that is inherently one of the lower value plays in the NBA playoffs. Why? Long jump shots off the dribble. And I don't mean the short ones like Jimmy Butler's taking in the post. I mean long jump shots off the dribble in the NBA playoffs, those 24, 26 footers. Those are extremely difficult to make when you are fatigued and you don't have the lift in your legs to get up into that shot. And when everything you're doing off the dribble is everything you're doing attacking to the basket is a live dribble from 26 feet, there's so much time for help defense to come over. There's a repeated rotation that the defense can make to kind of to solve any compromising that takes place. It's too easy to guard. And that's why, unless you're just the otherworldly best shooter, playmaker, ball handler in the league, like Steph Curry, you can't spam high pick and roll the way that that Jason Tatum does. In these settings, especially in these rock fight games, these bigger, stronger forwards, the ones that are really good, the Kawhis, the Jimmy Butlers, the LeBrons, what do? They get a matchup they like, and they take them close to the basket with their back to the basket so they can protect the basketball, and they go to short 10 to 12 foot shots in the lane or in the short corner that they can make at an extremely high percentage. That's what LeBron did this entire playoff run. It's what Jimmy Butler did this entire playoff run. That's what the best big wings in the league do. And that's what Jason Tatum has to add over the course of the next few seasons. He needs to add a reliable back to the basket bully ball game because he's damn strong and he's damn big and he's an underrated playmaker and he's got great touch. And if he polishes that stuff up, he's going to start thriving in these types of games. As we look forward for Boston, that's their only hope. You know, with Jaylen Brown, and look, they're in a tough position because with the way the CBA is structured, he's going to make way too much money, you know. But at the end of the day, like, yes, Jaylen Brown completely crumbled in this series, completely lost confidence. His ball handling is a real problem. All of that is true, but he's a lot better than he looked. He was a hell of a lot better just last year in the playoff run when they were two wins away from the title. Jaylen Brown is still a top 15, 20 player in this league, which means he deserves a max contract. And you certainly have no method to replace him with comparable players in the trade market. You're going to get 75 cents on the dollar if you do so. So as unfortunate as it is, you have to re-sign him. That's the best path forward for Boston, is pay everybody, go forward, and hope that Jason Tatum, over the coming years, develops into that offensive engine that can thrive in these late playoff situations. It didn't really come back to bite them until the Golden State Warriors series last year, bit them a little bit earlier this year, but that's the big problem. Not ancillary ball handling, not aggregate ball handling, the top end ball handling. They need Jason Tatum to take that next step. We will talk a hell of a lot more about Boston over the course of this offseason. Like I said, we're going to talk a lot about the NBA Finals over the course of the next few days. I'm going to be going our season preview tomorrow in the morning. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm doing an episode with Liv, our resident Nuggets fan here at The Volume. Did a bunch of work with her last year, so you guys who have been following the show probably remember her. And then on Wednesday, we're going to go with the Nerd Sesh guys and do another deep dive into the finals. So we're going to have a ton of stuff covering the NBA Finals over the course of the next 2 days. And then, like usual, we'll be going live after Game 1 on Thursday. As always, I sincerely appreciate you guys supporting the show, and I will see you tomorrow morning.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit lisa.com/hoops to learn more. That's LEESA.com/HOOPS. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.